Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
It's the Bunny Bunnies with Jenny Winter.
Hello, beautiful people of the world. Welcome to the Funny Mummies podcast. I'm Jenny Winter, and today this is a really special episode, actually. So this was not one that I recorded originally for the Funny Mummies podcast. This was a little experimental foray into a different podcast idea that I basically had as a knee-jerk thought at the beginning of COVID and was like, I want to do another project, so I'm just going to talk to people randomly. And this chat ended up being so delightful and unexpected and just a bit, I was so excited by this conversation and have had great feedback on it from the people who've listened to it that I thought, I have got to share this with you. So this is an interview with the lovely, not even an interview, a chat with the lovely Jane New, who is a comedian that I met while she was on tour in Queensland. She's from Tassie. She's fabulous. And I'm not even going to say any more because I'm going to let the conversation speak for itself. Just a little heads up, may not be suitable for younger ears. That's up to you. And without further ado, please enjoy this fab chat with Jane New.
Welcome to the show, Jane.
Hi.
Hello. You're coming to us from a road trip, I believe, around New South Wales at the moment.
That's right. Awesome. I've been to, I've got to get this right, Albury, Wagga, Orange, Dubbo, Tamworth.
They're the same.
Coffs Harbour, Port Macquarie, now I'm in Newcastle.
Everywhere. Goodness. And what's inspired the road trip at the moment for pleasure, work-based.
It's been great, actually. Met some lovely people, seen some amazing country.
What do you do? What's your day job? Like, I've met you through comedy, obviously, but yeah, what's your day job?
I'm not sure if you know this, actually, but I'm one of the oldest sex workers in the country.
No way.
Yeah,
that's incredible. Oh my gosh. So is this, and it's okay, just, this is blowing my mind. And tell me about you. So you're on tour doing that.
Yeah.
Amazing. How does that work? Tell me all about this. This is amazing.
People seem to have that reaction. It's strange. But anyway, no, I'm getting used to it. I had a midlife crisis at the age of 64 and decided there was something more interesting than accounting. There was.
You really went from 0 to 100.
No, I did a bit. And in between, in amongst all that, there was comedy as well. So lots of raw material, honestly. Okay, where were we? What inspired the road trip? Tasmania's got a population of 500,000 and it gets a bit claustrophobic. And you end up the walls start closing in. Beautiful place, wonderful people, love the place to death. I was born there, but every now and then I have to get out of it. And I've been doing just fly-in, fly-out trips to the major cities, which is how I met you, of course, because I came to Brisbane and I did a spot that night. And it's limited because you've got limited transport and you've got to fly, and I hate flying. And I thought I'll bring the car over and I'll load up the car with just stuff and I'll do a 5-week trip around New South Wales, which has got one of the more advanced set of sex laws in the country. Northern Territory, I think, is probably better these days. I've been having loads of fun. It's fascinating how the character of each town varies. So I want to go back inland. The inland towns are terrific. They're great.
That's incredible. How do you go about getting work? Like, work. How do you
find people? There's a couple of main sites that I advertise on, and then I've been putting little ads in local newspapers as well.
And just saying what dates you're going to be there? Is that kind of...
Yeah.
So it is like comedy touring.
Yeah, well, I mean, the original idea was to sort of scout for locations where I could do comedy as well and get a feel for what each town would... You know, if sort of lining up with comedy tours, but of course, that's all sort of fallen in a heap recently.
Well, indeed, yeah. How is it like? How is it affecting you? Because it's obviously affected every comedian I know.
It's affected everything, but yeah. I mean, I don't want to lapse too far into industry jargon, but touring is part of what we do because it's sort of fresh faces and it's like any other business, basically. But of course, what's happening is people in the industry are getting scared and saying, "Well, I'm not going to tour anymore. I'm just going to stay home till it passes." And I think, "Well, what the hell? I'm 66. You know, when I remember polio. I remember before smallpox was eradicated. You know, sort of. This is the flu. I just can't seem to come up with the amount of panic necessary." Just that. As far as I'm concerned, it's just business as usual. I don't physically see huge numbers of people anyway. I basically live from motel room to motel room, which is actually a lot better than it sounds. And I'm a bit of an introvert anyway. I'm a bit of an isolationist anyway. So to me, not a lot's changed.
Sure. Can I ask you, like, when you first started doing this work, so how long ago was that you started?
A couple of years ago. Actually, I discovered comedy and sex work within a couple of months of each other, and I'm not sure if that's a coincidence or not. I haven't figured that out yet.
I'm actually fascinated by this because, I mean, I haven't put a lot of thought into this, but just my knee-jerk reaction
is... Yeah, I've got to hit you with it, sorry. Yeah.
I was just thinking, but they're probably not dissimilar in a lot of ways, in that there is, you know, some people think, you know, oh, I could never do that. And I
that's
imagine
right.
The first time you do it, but also like the first time you do it must be quite nerve-wracking, I would imagine.
Oh, yes. And they've got an amazing amount in common because, well, yes, as you say, they're both things that people say that, oh my God, I could never do that. And isn't it dangerous? And, the answer to both is, well, most of the time it's not life-threatening, especially comedy. It's about human nature. It's about understanding people. It's about understanding what people want.
Yeah, and reading the room.
And reading the crowd, even if it's a crowd of one. There's a lot of overlap. And, of course, I have a captive audience every time I want to try out a new joke. So that works really well. And the show that I was going to be doing in Brisbane in May was about this. And I actually did a show in January in Hobart talking about it on stage and it's just what it's like. But also from a mature age perspective. So I grew up in an era when things weren't discussed openly. And so I still... I'd say I have problems talking about it, but I still use that euphemistic sort of language in talking about what I do.
Sure.
But, I mean, for example, I mean, this is a real-life incident that I was stocking up in supplies in Chemist Warehouse before I left home, and I went and I bought a big box of average-sized condoms and a large box of large condoms, just an ordinary size box of large condoms, and a box of slender condoms because when you buy condoms, there's no such thing as small.
They call them slender. Very nice.
The slender, yeah. And a thing of lube. Took them up to the checkout. She put them through the checkout and just automatic response, she said to me, have a nice day. And then she looked at me and she looked at what I just bought and she just went brilliant red and hid behind one of the displays.
Oh, dear.
And so it has, to me, it's work. It's just stuff. It's just matter of fact. But it's sort of every now and then something happens that makes me realise, well, maybe other people don't feel about it quite the same way. And I mean, I was restocking in Coffs Harbour, and I couldn't find them. Usually condoms are under family planning. I mean, I suppose there's a link. all that was under family planning in this chemist shop that I went into was pregnancy test kits. And I thought, well, it's quite definitely not applicable to me. I had to get a script filled. I went up to the counter and said to her, said to the nice young woman behind the counter, so I'm looking for condoms. And, of course, she's about 25 and she looks at me and, you know, the silver hair and so on. You've met me, you know what I look like. And it sort of does a double take, and then she sort of whispers, oh, just hang on, I'll show you.
Oh, wow.
But meanwhile, there's another assistant down the relevant aisle, and she shouts out, what does she want? Oh. I'll show her. And, you know, typical sort of country town, seaside town hospitality. And she says, all right, it's all right. So she's trying to whisper and shout at the same time.
Oh, my gosh. Do you feel embarrassment for them at the time, like knowing, yeah?
I do, because I forget. I forget that this stuff attached. Sure. To really what's quite a normal, healthy occupation.
Because you're very open about it. Like, do your family know and everything?
Yeah, I mean, my kids are growing up. And
is that something that you sat down and told them that you were doing, or how did that happen? How did that come about that they...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so curious to know how that went.
Well, my daughter decided that Mum had finally gone totally crazy. My youngest son was the best comment. I said to him, how do you feel about this, really? Because he's 24 and it's you know, he's a young man, he's a young adult, and he's a very serious young man. And he thought about it for a while and he said, I think it's just a really good way of putting it up the patriarchy.
Oh, drop the mic.
And I thought, yeah, I brought him up well.
Oh, my God, Mama. Good job. That's astounding.
Yeah, he's a classic.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just, honestly, I mean, I think the thing is, like, you, as you say, you forget that it's actually something that's quite extraordinary or quite interesting. Like, I'm fascinated to hear this. I think you need to write a book.
Oh God, I could.
I know you're putting your stuff on stage, but seriously, this is, if you ever wanted to, and you're a very funny person, I think that would be amazing. I would freaking line up. I will be the first person to buy that book, Jane, if you write it. Honestly.
Yeah, I've had some interesting experiences on this road trip.
Are there any you can talk about, or is there?
Actually, I'll tell you about one. This one actually isn't funny. It was actually quite frightening. And one of the things that people do say to me a lot is sort of, oh, my God, isn't it dangerous? And usually no, because I have a vetting process through the way that I meet people that weeds out most of the dickheads. Mm-hmm. But one actually slipped in under the radar. And he seemed fine, you know, sort of country bloke. He spent the first 5 minutes telling me what a fantastic lover he was and how he loved women, how he loved being with women. He spent the next 5 minutes proving that he wasn't. Mm. And then it was an hour booking, and he spent the next 50 minutes talking virtually non-stop, which in itself actually isn't unusual. But he started out talking, you know, how are you touring? You come from interstate, you don't know your way around here. And it got progressively scarier and scarier, sort of stories about people being kicked out of motels and about police making visits and so on and so on. By the time he left at the end of it, I was really, really worried. And I thought about it. I'm in my third year of this, and I'm not normally worried. I know my way around the legislation. I know my way around the way the states vary and all the things you've got to know when you're actually doing this. And I was thinking about it, and I thought, calm down here. Just think about what's actually happening. I thought, he set out to make me frightened.
Yeah.
And then the more I thought about it, the more I realised he was actually a full-on certifiable narcissist.
Right.
And everything he'd done, all the stuff that he'd talked about how fantastic he was at X, Y, and Z, all of which I doubt, actually, and the way that he'd said, sort of seeded into this whole sort of fear thing for me. Mm. I mean, I had my answers ready and got various ways that I'd covered everything that he brought up, but it actually really shook me that this is, I think, probably the first person I've really encountered at first hand that was quite definitely a narcissist. Gosh. And quite definitely was trying to get me in his power. He was trying to influence me in some way.
What do you think is, like, did you have a feeling of what was he actually trying to get out of that, other than, I mean, obviously getting off on the power trip of it all?
I think it was the whole power trip.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it was the power thing. It wasn't. It was distinctly unusual, but as I said, this is my third year of doing this and it's probably the first time it's happened, but it was quite disturbing at the time.
Yeah, of course, and especially when you're on tour alone. I mean, vulnerable.
Yeah, and, you know, strange city, all the rest of it. I bet that was what he was playing on, the fact that I was touring and that I didn't know anybody.
Which is so cowardly. Yeah, that's, yeah.
But what actually happened, you know, we all like happy endings to stories.
We do.
What actually happened was that the guy I'd met before him, who was delightful, I got rid of the narcissist, the creep. He pushed him out the door. And I got a text message, and it was from the guy before him saying, I had a really lovely time. Would you like to go out to dinner? And we did. We went out to dinner and I met him at a pub in town and I said, oh, my God, I've just had the weirdest experience and just downloaded all
of this. Oh, wow.
And the first guy, the guy that I'd met first, turned out to be absolutely delightful and really supportive and really understanding. And
that's beautiful.
And it was just gorgeous. But that's the other thing that people don't talk about in this business is that I meet some absolutely wonderful, delightful people, often everywhere. And this little road trip that I'm doing has really emphasised that. I've just met some absolutely gorgeous people in the last few weeks.
That's so beautiful.
I think from a woman's point of view, you get a little insight into the sort of the male world, that you know, particularly occupations that are almost exclusively male, and it's fascinating. It's really, really interesting.
What do you feel like you've learned that you didn't know before?
Oh God, where do I start?
Start anywhere. This is just honestly, this is fascinating.
Well, I thought I knew about sex. I was 64. You know, I'd had a fairly rich, full, interesting life. I was married once a long time ago. I thought I knew about men. I thought I knew about sex. I was wrong. That's so much more interesting than I thought. And sex itself is just so much more fascinating. I've learned a lot about my own body, my own reactions. I think I probably enjoy it more now than I did 2.5 years ago when I started.
Wow.
This is one thing I really would like to write a book about, is that I think as women we underestimate the amount that men express themselves emotionally through sex.
Mm.
They don't necessarily have the words, they don't necessarily have the all the other sort of touchy-feely stuff that we women expect, but they can do it with sex. It's sort of our society allows them to do it through sex and it tends to close down a lot of their other outlets, and we don't allow for that a lot of the time.
Wow.
And that's one thing. That's getting a bit serious. That's getting a bit heavy.
No, this is amazing. This is fantastic.
But, I mean, as I said, I'm 66. There's two main groups, broadly speaking, of guys that come to see me. And one is guys that are roughly in my age group. I mean, when I started out, I thought, oh, I wonder if there's a couple of nice guys in Hobart that might take me out to dinner and enjoy a bit of fun afterwards and actually pay for it. 2 weeks later, I gave up my day job.
There's the first. That's like the start of your book blurb. That's like your first sentence.
Exactly. But the other group, the other sort of broad group, are young blokes.
Really?
That just love older women for various reasons. They might feel more comfortable with older women, or they've just got a straight out granny fetish. That's happened as well. I've had some young men that have wanted a first or near first experience, that they've somebody that they can relax with, someone they can feel comfortable with, and with a younger woman, they feel judged.
Yeah, right.
So, but with somebody my age, they don't. And I find that fascinating too.
Yeah, that is really interesting. And you were saying before, it's not unusual. I mean, I have heard this in terms of sex work, that often it is the, like, talking is a big part of it, that actually just having someone to talk to. So that is a big part of what you do as well. Like, do you ever feel like, are you kind of playing the role of counsellor sometimes?
I wish I had a psychology degree, honestly.
Wow.
I've had people sob on me. I've had people with undiagnosed PTSD.
Oh, wow.
Once again, it's getting into the heavy side.
No, I love this.
But
what do you do in that scenario?
Some people have actually said, look, this is, I can't help you. You need professional help. You've got to go and see someone.
Yep.
Sometimes health issues. Guys are terrible at going to the doctor.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes it just needs someone to say to them, look, you've got to go and see somebody about this. This is not normal, particularly for somebody your age.
And if this is a bit too personal, that's fine. Are we talking things that they've told you about, or stuff that you can notice because you're obviously with someone, you know, naked and vulnerable?
The common thing that guys worry about, particularly as they get older, is erectile dysfunction. I mean, right. Let's just name it up there. But it can be for all sorts of reasons. It's not necessarily age related. So if you've got a guy who's in his early 40s that's having trouble, I saw a guy a while back, and he was having problems in that area, but he also had really cold hands.
Oh.
And really cold hands. And I thought, this isn't normal. And so I talked to a friend of mine who was in the medical profession and said, it could be diabetes.
Really?
Yes, because it's all to do with blood circulation.
Wow.
So anything that is affecting circulation is going to affect the old fella. And, if you've got a guy who's 40-odd but who's a heavy smoker, there's a chance it's going to be affecting other things as well.
Yeah, right. Were you able to tell that guy, to get back to that guy and say, hey, go get checked out for diabetes?
Yeah, well, I actually said to him, you've got to go to your doctor. This is not normal. But, I mean, I actually think, they put those really horrible photos on cigarette packets. I think all they need is one sentence. You want to keep on getting it up? Stop smoking.
Got to know the audience.
I don't know what you do for the women, but it's certainly part of the men.
Oh, my gosh. This is fascinating. You just gave me an idea for a TV show. There's a show on Netflix at the moment I've been watching. It's so stupid, but it's so funny. It's called Medical Police. And it's so dumb. It's basically these doctors, but they become cops, and so they go around doing medical stuff but also solving crime. But I'm imagining yours like being, a sex working doctor and being able to diagnose stuff on the go. Fantastic.
No doubt.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I really do hope that you write a book, and I hope that you're keeping notes on your tour, because it's just genius.
Oh, I keep notes. I mean, some of them. I know there's one question that everybody always wants to know the answer to, which I touched on before, which is, isn't it dangerous? And what I will say is that there's one danger in this that I could never have foreseen when I started, which is that every now and then somebody will walk through my door who's just absolutely gorgeous, and I'll think, oh, my God, if only I'd met you in different circumstances.
Wow.
Because, I mean, what do you say to the kids? You know, sort of, here's my new boyfriend. He was a client last week. You know?
Well, clearly your youngest son's fine with it.
It doesn't work somehow. And what does he say to his kids?
My God.
You know, sort of, this is a lady I paid. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. But no, that's the biggest danger, is that every now and then I just get a bit too emotionally involved.
Wow. That's fascinating too. I mean, there's a bloody book to be written right there. Romantic comedy.
Oh, I've got an idea in that direction, actually.
Oh, my gosh. Well, darling, I'll let you go get some well-earned rest, and thank you so much for having a chat. Yeah, you're an absolute gem.
Okay, cool.
All right. See you later, Jane.
See ya. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Funny Mummies podcast. If you haven't already, make sure you join our group on Facebook, the Funny Mummies group. Also, we have funnymummies.com, which has upcoming gigs, shows, fun stuff. You can find me, Jenny Winter, which is WYNTER, why? Because I can, at jennywinter.com. You can find me on Facebook at Jenny Winter Comedian, Instagram at Jen Winter. And your child could be the voice on this podcast. So if your child would like to say, with Jenny Winter, record that as a voice memo, send it through to me. You can either send it via the Facebook group or via my website, and they could be the voice on the next episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you find some funny in your day.
It's the Funny Mummies with Jenny Winter.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.